Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is The Morning Shift. I am he, and he is I, Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, the Queen of Tofu, the leader of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack. Sometimes they call her Amy Mack. Who cares? It doesn't matter. So always, as long as it starts with an A.
It does matter. Shots fired already.
I've still got the wounds from yesterday. And the most vanilla man in Atlanta radio, the worst wave you'll ever see. And a lover of some cereals, but not many that people like, Mr. Dylon Matthews on the ones and twos. And we are not live from Atlanta Falcons training camp today because it is not an open practice. So if you go up there and stand in line early, you will be standing in line for a while. And you'll be watching from the road, not the hill. But they'll be back tomorrow and Sunday. I do believe that both of those are sold out. Mike will be back there. Actually, 99 The Game will be there tomorrow and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Allie and myself will return on Tuesday. Mike Johnson will return on Sunday up there with the Most Vanilla Man Radio over there, Dylon Matthews. They'll do a little show.
Yeah, posted up like two mailboxes out there in the fan zone.
That's right.
Yeah, a lot of changes are in the air, it feels like, because we might have some changes on our baseball team. Obviously, our Falcons roster is a very large one right now, and it will be dwindling down as the weeks go on during training camp, and eventually they'll get to 53 with a 16-man practice squad. But right now, we just gotta reminisce about what we saw yesterday, Miss Allie.
Well, you know how I know I wasn't built to be an NFL player.
Breaking news.
When did you come to that realization?
Let's open the window to that.
When I woke up, or first of all, when I got home yesterday and I'm exhausted, and then waking up this morning and I'm still exhausted, and those guys had practice all day. Like, I'm just exhausted from going and watching. But they are out there in the heat, trying their best at every single thing they do. And it just has to be just, first of all, a mind game. And then the physical exertion they're putting into everything is just so, so much. I have so much respect for them after being out there at that camp yesterday.
One of the hardest things to do, I think, is through progression. We talked about kind of the difference between a rookie and a veteran, or even a freshman and an upperclassman in college, is to be able to go out and actually focus on getting better. You know what I mean? Like, too many times when you're young in the profession, or like I said, when you show up to school, you focus on like literally surviving the day and just being like, man, I got to get through this rep. Hopefully I don't get beat for a sack. And to be able to actually go out there and kind of have a mental checklist of like, I need to get better with my left hand in this punch, or my step, my step's just too far. I need to take it from 12 inches to 6 inches or whatever, on my first step. It like that is how you really start sending things to the next level. And that's why when you hear people say, hey, I'm more comfortable this year, I'm kind of settled in, I get to focus a little bit better on things I need to do, it's usually about like, I'm not trying to get past the practice and just survive. I'm actually going to focus on things that I can do to make myself a better football player. And once you enter that mindset, and I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago because John Gordon was in here with Steak, and who's the author of The Energy Bus, which we read during training camp. That a lot of that is about that, like focus on the now and focus on trying to actually improve yourself on a daily basis, not about the, oh my God, it's hot. Oh my God, I'm exhausted. And, some of those guys are trying to move through that right now. So you can kind of see that in a lot of those guys' eyes out there on the field.
Well, let me set the table for the show today because we have a lot going on, because training camp is going to be a massive topic. But coming up at 6:20, we do have some audio from Dukes and Bell during their show yesterday. They did speak with Michael Penix Jr. So we're going to replay that interview for you, 6:40, my Mac drop. It's the Rookie Report edition. I've got some receipts for someone.
Uh-oh.
Got some audio to play for you.
Just say me. It's always me.
Just don't.
That's not true. She came at me about Greg the other day.
Don't say someone and stare at me, okay? That's what she just did.
7 a.m., we had a chance to talk with Drake London, so we're going to play that for you. 7:40, it is Fair or Foul Friday. And 8:20, Grant McCauley will join us to talk about these Braves. Bo, what were some of your observations from yesterday out at Falcons training camp?
A few. Well, first off, I'm very disappointed. I don't know if we'll get to talk to him this camp, but Caleb McGarry cut his hair.
Oh.
And I love the Viking look on Caleb McGarry, and he kind of went buzz cut, I guess, for camp. But I don't know. Is this something about like an offensive tackle with Viking hair that just kind of like, I think that's a cool look, and it kind of is an intimidating look maybe for a defensive lineman. There was a few things. It's weird watching Kirk run with the twos. I think
he looked healthy though.
He did.
He looked healthy.
He was doing a drill where he did a boot and rolled out, and I thought it was as sharp as I've seen a ball come out of his hands since he's been here. And
I agree.
It's a little different for him running with the twos because there's not a familiarity with that group, and the crispness is not there. But he did look strong, and he looked healthy is a good way to put it. I want to point one thing. I know we talked about this, but don't read into a lot of when you go through the
trying to help you out, but I'm
rotations.
Okay,
early rotations.
Yeah, rotations.
Early rotations, especially on defense, because I was asking Arch about this, and I was like, "What should I read into Jordan Fuller being with what appears to be the ones?" And he was like, "I don't know, not much." And I was like, "Does that mean I should think he's a day one starter?" And he's like, "Well, veterans earn these spots, right? When they come into camp with a new team or whatever, and there's not a defined starter at a position, you're going to roll a veteran in there most of the time because, one, you've earned it, two, you kind of have more of a feel of what people are asking for." And so I say that because if you see certain guys in certain rotations right now, that doesn't necessarily mean that's how it's going to be. Now, it doesn't not mean that.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily say that's the starter right now. I don't think Jordan Fuller – I think if the season started today, you would probably start Jordan Fuller because he's a veteran and he can understand kind of the assignments better than a guy who's had one training camp practice under them, right? But that doesn't mean that that's going to be the way they roll in, even in the first preseason game, Mike.
Yeah, I think that you're spot on with that. I'm in agreeance, though. I think that if you were starting today, that he would definitely be the guy. And it's not just about, like, veteran presence. It's understanding of the defense at this point, right? And a lot of it comes down to numbers. When you do the split field early in practice, which a lot of the Twitter – feedback yesterday about training camp is about, hey, how are these guys split up? You know, the older starter, whatever you want to call them, is on one field, and then kind of the other group is on the other field trying to make sure everybody can get as many reps as they can to kind of start practicing 11-on-11 drills. And you did look up and you saw Jordan Fuller, and I know there's a bunch of other people that I want to get to throughout the day that were on this field and some that were not. But, yeah, I mean, he's a guy who is a veteran. He's a guy who is obviously in a starting battle. And I think at this point he probably does have a hand up. Anybody who is taking those beginning reps next to Jesse Bates is probably in the driver's seat, I would say, but it doesn't mean anything long term at all. It's just a simple matter of, hey, I need enough safeties on this field, I need enough safeties on that field. And so you can't ever read too much into it, even though there is certain people, throughout the Twitter sphere that want to read as much as possible into those kind of things. It's just not always what you perceive it to be.
After the first game every year, the next day's Overreaction Monday, because half the teams are gonna win the Super Bowl and the other half are going 0-17, and it's sky is falling and it's we are the greatest thing since sliced bread. So that's what a lot of people do after day one. Like I'm seeing like the Kyle Pitts hype right now is out of control again. Oh, dude, look how great he looked. He's a monster. He's unbelievable. He's back to the 2021 version. Well, he might be. We don't know.
We said it. Remember what he looked like at second year high school last year?
Yeah.
It looked like exactly like yesterday.
Yeah, so grain of salt with a lot. I thought it was interesting. I'm sitting there watching with the number one, my number one fan, Dave Archer. He's a huge fan of me and everything I do. And we're watching some practice together, and we're watching what looks to be the ones on defense. And you look on the edge, and there's Khalid Kareem.
Yeah.
With his hand in the dirt on the edge. And I was like, that's interesting. Didn't see that. Jalen Walker ran a lot with the twos yesterday. We did get this. It looked, and it, correct me if you think I'm wrong. I felt he was out he would go out there before or after James Pierce. Like, James Pierce was going out on the field at times one. And again, they're rolling through rotations. That's what I'm saying. Don't overreact to that, right?
Well, but, yeah, and here's what I will say, and I know that we're going to be up against in just a second. There was one thing that I wanted to look for when we first got on the field. Like, the one thing that my eyes, as soon as we walked out there, that I glued to, and that was the front, the personnel up front. Not only that, but how exactly they were lined up. They were lined up in a 3-4 front when we walked out there. And it was almost exclusively in a 3-4 front yesterday, which there's been a lot of conversation about 4-3, 3-4, you know, splitting gaps, getting in the backfield, things like that. But that rotation up front was Leonard Floyd and Arnold Vacati on the edges at the outside linebacker spots. And it was Morgan Fox, David Onyemata, and Zach Harrison at the interior three spots. There was not a and look, like I said, you take all of this with a grain of salt. These are veteran players, this, that, and the other. But I wanted to see how they were lined up and what personnel was in those, you know, those lineup spots. And that was the first thing my eyes immediately went to when I walked out there.
Saw a lot of Rook as well.
A lot of Rook yesterday as well, yeah.
Arch and I were talking about this, and, you know, this defense feels attacking and aggressive, which is Ulbrich's kind of MO.
They're going to have to be.
Well, and that's,
yeah,
that's the thing. And the problem with that type of defense, though, is you will get gashed. They will gash you on some run plays because, you know, they can pin you. But guys, defensive ends and defensive linemen can be so aggressive, they'll get pinned, right? And the guys will go around them, they'll create holes. But Rook, you know, if he can come on and play in that and really get off in that type of defense, it could be, he could play, if he did like he did at Clemson. It could be good for this team.
And it's going to be – that's going to be suited more to what he's able to do. You know what I mean? Hey, look, just get in the backfield and create violence. And I thought – I saw that a number of times, not only from him yesterday, but I also noticed it from David Onyemata at number of times yesterday, which is not what he's used to be doing from the nose spot.
It kind of explains why they didn't go and get a real space eater or maybe bring back Eddie Goldman.
I think you can talk that into a circle if you want. They did not go and get a space heater, so you know what we are? We're going to rip into the backfield.
I tell you, we don't
have that guy. Let's, you know what? Now that we think about it, yeah, we're going to rip into the backfield.
There was one guy that was a lot, it looks a lot bigger than I thought. A lot. I know that we got to get to break.
I was going
to
say there's also one guy we have not talked about that is the only rookie that I wanted to talk about after yesterday.
Well, there is so much to unpack with Falcons training camp day one. I mean, I even have a few questions for you guys. But coming up next, we've got Michael Penix on the way. He joined Dukes and Bell. We will let you hear that interview next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. You got Mike here, Bo, I'm Allie Mack, and Dylan. And right after practice yesterday at Falcons training camp, it was day one, Dukes and Bell got to chat with Michael Penix. They pulled him aside, and Carl asked him, how different does the first day of camp feel this year compared to last year, and where he was mentally, physically, and preparation-wise?
I mean, the only difference is, I mean, I got a different title this year, you know, but I always cut the main thing. You know, the goal is to do whatever I can to help this team win football games, and that's going to continue to stay that. So, still the same mindset. You know, just a different title this year.
You were known as a great leader, man, a captain at Washington. Do you feel more comfortable taking that leadership role this season?
Yeah, man. I've always been comfortable in that role. You know, it don't come overnight. You know, obviously you got to gain that trust from the guys, and, you know, each and every day I continue to try to prove that, make sure the guys know that I'm somebody they can look at as a leader. And, you know, I just got to come out here and be consistent each and every day, and my play is going to speak for itself. So,
Michael Penix joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So a lot of conversation about Kyle Pitts this offseason. Saw that you guys got together, not just Pitts, but your receiving core. Did you orchestrate that? Did you call the guys and say, hey, let's hook up and get together? And do you feel like you got some quality work in? Or was it just, hey, hanging out and get to know guys?
Yeah, to be honest, Darnell Mooney, he called that up. You know, I definitely knew I wanted to get with the guys. But Mooney, he said it's on him this year. he took it this year, and he was like, hey, man, because I know you fresh to it. You know, this is your first year starting. You know, I want to – He wanted to take over this year, you know, bringing the guys out, you know, to Cali and working together. So, but that's just the leader that he is as well, you know. But next year, it'll definitely be on me. So,
what's up, Darnell? Darnell Mooney, baby. Hey, what's your relationship like with Zach Robinson, especially now that you are going to be the man from the jump as opposed to taking it in midseason last year? Anything different with the playbook, or is he working to your strengths?
My relationship with him is great. You know, he trusts me. I trust him, and he's gonna call whatever's on that playbook. Cause you know, as long as we're on the same page, you know, whenever we get out there, you know, we're gonna go out there and make it work. You know, every call not gonna be great. Every play by me not gonna be great. But at the end of the day, we gotta lean on each other. You know, in those hard times and even in those good times, you know, and always trust each other and you know always come to an understanding when it comes game day. And we locked in and we're gonna do whatever it takes to win football games.
Michael Penix joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Mike, there was a play last year Mike and I talked about where you went to Drake, y'all missed it, and you went right back to it, and you hit it for a touchdown. And I bring this up only to say, how much confidence do you instill not only in Drake, but also maybe Kyle Pitts and say, hey, I'm coming to you. Dog, I'm getting you to rock. Like, does that help? And is that you? Do you do those things for those guys, or is it just a situation that happens and plays out throughout the course of a game?
Man, it's what we do, not on Sundays, but, you know, throughout the week, each and every day, you know, gaining that confidence, gaining that that trust with those guys and allowing them to understand, like, hey, man, we nobody perfect. You know, we strive to be perfect, but nobody's perfect. Everybody's not going to make every single play, you know, but as long as we continue to play the next play, you know, the ball will find you, and I'm always going to find an open guy. So they know that. They'll get the ball.
You remember that play?
I do.
We do, because that's the thing. Michael Penix Jr., our quarterback, joins us on Dukes and Bell. When we talk to people around the country about the Falcons and they ask us about you, I say that Sunday night game against the Commanders, that was like a big moment. It's like a playoff type atmosphere, and you made one of those great throws to Kyle Pitts for a touchdown. Did you go back and look at all your film from last year?
Yeah, I did. I did.
What'd you think?
Oh, I mean, it was a lot of things to work off of. You know, obviously, you know, it was tough connecting, you know, early on, you know, but you know, as we continue to get better each and every day, you know, just spending all that time, you know, outside of the game field and even off the field as well, you know, just building that relationship with those guys, you know, that connection to continue to build. And I've been seeing it build all offseason. I can't wait to see what we do this year.
SEC Media Days just happened. Kalen DeBoer was in town, and he said, hey, you came to the crib, y'all kicked it. You have a great relationship with him. What is he telling you as you've now made your way into the professional ranks and helping you as long as he's known you? Probably he says he's known you better, you know, as far as an offensive coordinator and being around you than anybody else.
Yeah, man, he just telling me to be myself. You know, he said that's all I got to do, be myself. He told me to just trust my abilities and, you know, just go out there and have fun. You know, that's the biggest thing he always say, just have fun, you know, and be you. And that's the main thing that he always tell me.
Speaking of having fun, man, people loving the vibe, the working class hero, man, being at Costco when you get the word you're going to be the starter. What else did you do this summer, man? What was your offseason?
This summer, I didn't really do too much. I went back home to my city, in Dade City. You know, I had a kids camp there. You know, truly enjoyed that. You know, all the kids that came out and supported. And
had a street named after you, didn't you?
Got a street named after me. That was a blessing as well, too, you know. So those things, I got out to fish a little bit, been trying to golf, get my golf game better, but that's about it.
How's it?
You already catch. Yeah, we're all fishing. Well, we try to fish.
Yeah, we went trout fishing.
Okay.
Yeah, out there trout.
In the golf game, what's it look like?
It's getting there. I ain't going to talk too much about it, but it's getting there.
Well, now it's go time, so you shutting that down, right? You won't have time to do that.
Yeah.
Michael, what do you want to improve on, man? I mean, obviously, three-game sample space, but you know your game. You know what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into this season, you say, this is what I got to be better at. What is that?
Just the connection with the guys, you know, obviously seeing last year, you know, seeing all the plays that was left out there, you know, it's not something that, you know, I'm used to seeing. You know, I like to at least give my guys a chance, and it was times last year where I wasn't giving them a chance, you know, so just make sure I give those guys a chance, you know, just connecting with them, you know, day in and day out, make sure that our chemistry is where it needs to be.
Do we know what the workload's going to be like in preseason? Because I know last year we wanted to see more of you in preseason. Have you talked to Coach about that yet?
No talks about that yet.
What about Kirk Cousins, man? How's that really? I know you're talking about how he's had your back. Same vibe?
Yeah, same vibe, man. He's great. A great guy. You know, he's still a leader. You know, everybody looking at him as a leader, and he's always going to be that, you know.
You feel what's going on around here? I'm talking about Atlanta, like, with you and, like, how people feel and the excitement. Do you feel that?
I am a little bit, you know. I feel like once season come around, you'll see it and feel it even more, you know. But I definitely am feeling the love, you know. It's amazing, you know. I love the city, man. It's a great city. You know, I was glad I got drafted here. You know, I'm not too far from home, so be able to have family come up a lot. So it's been great.
And then finally, we talked a lot about the playoffs. We talked with A.J. Terrell, Jesse Bates. You know, you're in your second year. A lot of these guys have not been in the playoffs. I mean, do you set goals like that, or just it is what it is?
No, we gotta win. we gotta get there, man. That's
ESPN
always the goal, man.
Rosenberg,
trying to win every one, you know. But
also,
we're gonna do whatever it takes to make sure that we do that.
Yeah, that was Michael Penix on Dukes and Bell yesterday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Any takeaways from what Michael Penix had to say?
I thought it was a good interview. I love Penix. He's so good at understanding all the little things that he has to do. I noticed it last year, right after the game in Washington, when Arch did his interview, because Arch always talks post game to whoever the quarterback is, and that was like only the second time he had done it, and it was his first loss in the NFL, and it was a crazy game, and just how he handled it was so classy. Raheem talked about Mike asked him about the preseason, about the playing time. Raheem basically kind of alluded to yesterday in his presser that there's not going to be a change in how they went about preseason last year, which makes me tend to believe we could see maybe a couple of series of Penix at the most. I think the question is how much we'll see Kurt.
I was going to say that's more the question for me, is how much to Kurt, which obviously we did not see much of Michael Penix last year during preseason.
We saw like a half.
I don't even think it was that long.
I think the Miami game he played a half, or maybe not even close, maybe almost.
I don't think it was quite a half, and we didn't see much of him at all. And that's really the conversation I'll be having moving forward. I don't think there's any upside to playing Michael Penix. But then, you know, you look at Easton Stick and Emory Jones, and I hated, and let me put this very bluntly, I thought the performance of the offense in week one against the Steelers was flat out embarrassing. And so I wondered if there would be any changes. Now, I think when you look at Zach Robinson being more up to bat, I think when you hopefully, like we talked about, that second year of development under an offensive coordinator with the same quarterbacks in the quarterback room and the cadences and the motions and everything else, hopefully it's down a little more pat. But that's what usually the preseason is for. And I don't think you can afford to come out and fall flat on your face in week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I hope it's the right path moving forward. I don't know that it is, though, and I think that causes me some frustration for sure.
Looking back on everything we now know, how much of that week one performance was not playing in the preseason, Zach Robinson trying to get comfortable, the limitations of Kirk Cousins' ankle, which he has said that he just didn't feel like he didn't feel at any point 100% with his ankle. Not even talking about what happened later in the season. So going against a really good defense and an elite edge rusher, which you did not have a good game plan for. So I
think it's all the above.
Yeah. So I don't. That's why the preseason thing is an argument that I despise, because every year it's, they play too much, or they don't play enough. And it's never, it's one that it's always going to be there, and it feels like no one ever has a firm stance. People change their argument. Not saying you, but a lot of people seem to change their argument based on, you know, the situation, right? I think the thing, though, to me is we talked yesterday extensively about Bijan Robinson's third year, comfortability, Penix comfortability in the second training camp. I don't think we've talked enough about Zach Robinson's comfortability in the second year of an offensive coordinator in training camp, and just things they want to do in camp and how he wants to run camp practices from an offensive play calling standpoint of what plays they're going through, what things they're polishing, so to speak.
I think you guys correct me if I'm wrong. Y'all were standing right next to me. But I think the second or third play was a boot in the very first team period was a boot. And it was like, oh, okay. Yeah, like we waited all year last year to see a boot. Lord knows I stepped on this post-game show on the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network and almost just beat my head on the table. And I was like, I don't understand why we're the only offense in the National Football League that doesn't pull a guard and doesn't run boots. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, that continued, obviously, throughout most of the season until the very end when Penix did become a part of it. I think the very first play that Penix ran, or maybe the first third down, was a bootleg. And it's just interesting to see that. But hopefully that can make strides.
Well, I know we talked a lot about Michael Penix and his comfortability in his second year. I disagree with that, though, because yesterday he was wearing long sleeves and pants. There's no way he was comfortable. No way.
You got to get a good lather up, Alex.
Look, man, this quarterback ain't doing nothing.
Coming up, we're going to get into the front page. We lost another notable that I think everyone has a memory of. And one of, if not the most traded player in baseball, retired yesterday. Plus, we've got my Allie Mack drop. It is Rookie Report Day. I'm coming with receipts for someone. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app, brother.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack. I've got Mike here, Bo, and Dylan behind the glass. Guys, things happen in threes, and it's just unfortunate. We have another one to talk about.
I just don't believe that.
I do.
You don't?
I don't believe in that at all.
Well, it just happened. Literally, it just happened.
Okay, but then, like, what if it happens, like, in a week?
But that's
are
a different...
Are we just going to say, well, it comes in fours?
A different series. No, that resets.
It starts a different series?
It starts a different series.
How long is the time period?
This is like baseball. Death is like baseball, okay?
It's capped at three.
So, but I'm saying, what's the time period for, like, if we start a new series next week and it's 70s icons?
Well, you got a week. You got a week.
You got 1 week?
Yeah.
A week or so.
Okay.
Well, why would you have more than a week?
All right. So if it,
three famous people have died in a week.
If one happens next week and then nobody else dies within a week, is it still things come in threes?
That's an anomaly.
They're probably not it's as notable.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry for interrupting. Go ahead. You were on the right track.
You know, I'm against you. I'm with Allie on this completely. Right. But, you know, in 5 minutes, it'll change when she has her little receipts.
So, Hulk Hogan, yes, unfortunately passed away yesterday at the age of 71. I feel like everybody has a memory of Hulk Hogan. Like, he's globally known.
What's yours?
The first thing I remember seeing him in was, like, the Tooth Fairy movie. He was dressed up. I remember renting it as a kid.
Oh, God. Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
So, I remember when, I think I brought this up the other day. Me and Grant might have been talking about it.
You just reenacted this entire wrestling match.
Yeah. It's it's when Hulk Hogan, the Gulf War had just started, and so Sergeant Slaughter and gets up with like the Iron Sheik and Colonel Mustafa or whoever it was, and like. They're waving the Iraqi flag, and he's like anti-America. And of course, Hulk Hogan is Mr. America, and they fight it. Sergeant Slaughter's the champion, and Hogan fights him at WrestleMania, wins, and then in the locker room, he's attacked afterwards by Sergeant Slaughter and them. And that's like one of my biggest memories because Hulk Hogan, like back in the day, then he did the greatest heel turn in the history of heel turns.
I was gonna say that's my biggest memory. Now I was obsessed with WCW when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean obsessed. Like, went to multiple Monday Nitros, like dressed up as Sting for Halloween.
Nice!
You know what I mean? Put the black wiffle ball bat up my sleeve and just would slide it out like I was going to hit somebody, you know? Looking back on it, like, it's probably not a good idea for Halloween, right? But nonetheless, but we could, listen, shout out to my parents. Like, we couldn't afford pay-per-views. Like, we were not the family that was going to order the pay-per-views.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we weren't either.
And
same.
So you would always watch the Monday Nitro the next day after the pay-per-view, and you didn't have, we didn't have social media. I didn't have internet at the time. So, like, you'd watch Monday Nitro, and they would be a rehash of what happened at the pay-per-view the night before. And you remember they always did the still images?
Yes.
They didn't show the videos. It was still images. Like, you know.
They didn't own the own.
Right. It's like they didn't own their own rights or something.
So
it was like still images. Like, you know, hey. We want you to buy the replay of the pay-per-view or rent this on VHS, so we're not going to show you the video. And it was just a still image of, like, Hogan spray-painting the backs of everybody in NWO and, like, the whole heel turn. And I was stunned, like, for hours, stunned in front of the television, listening to them talking about what happened the night before. And I was like, oh, my God.
Dude.
You know, and I'm like, I'm still believing it's real at that point. That's probably like, I was like 7 or 8. I'm like, yo, my God.
I definitely went to the video store and would rent them after they would come out on VHS or whatever. Like, I mean, no lie.
I was such a fan that years later I would see the pay-per-views on the shelf at like Hollywood Video and I'd be like, oh, I've always wanted to watch this. Mom, can we rent this, please?
Do you have Peacock?
Yes. No. Yes.
So Peacock has a WWE network and you can literally go back and watch every pay-per-view ever.
I swear.
Except for some with Chris Benoit.
You too? Yeah. Look at you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's interesting because they do all the documentaries too, like the behind the scenes stuff. It's actually very fascinating.
I watch more documentaries about that era of wrestling than I have watched wrestling at all. Like, because it's so interesting, that time frame, especially when you made the move from like the kid friendly era to the attitude era of wrestling, which was NWO, the Stone Colds and the Rocks.
Yeah.
But you wanna go watch one of the greatest crowd matches of all time is WrestleMania 18 when Hogan is Hollywood Hogan and he faces The Rock, and The Rock is the good guy, and he's the face. And the crowd who's seeing Hogan back in the WWE and everything, literally turn Hogan into the good guy, and they change in the middle of the match. The Rock and Hogan both see what's happening, and The Rock put him over. The Rock put Hogan over in that match, and The Rock wins, right? And then he has to, like, let Hogan have his mom. It was so – that's how you knew that they were two of the best of understanding the business. There's a lot of memories of Hogan. You know, we can sit here and talk about what he was or wasn't out of the squared circle, and how he didn't always put guys over like he should have, but he turned that business into – a billion-dollar industry, and him and McMahon and a few others.
Yeah, forever changed it. All right, so North Carolina is exploring a potential move from the ACC to the SEC.
No, thanks. We're full. All closed. And I don't mean any disrespect, but, I'm so done with realignment, period. And I know that this is forward-facing. There are thoughts that this might be like a thing looking 5-6 years in the future, and when their buyout comes down to $75 million in like 2031. I'm good, dude. Like, let's just shut this. Either shut it all down or make it one massive conference. Yeah. I'm tired of this every other year. It's like, dude, I don't need realignment. Just everybody get your hand in or out of the cookie jar and let's move on.
Yeah, it's kind of disgusting to think about. Really, it's just I'm just over that part. I'm with you. But that's a big blow because that's one of the I don't want to use the word. I don't. Charter sounds like a weird word, but it's a heritage ACC school, basically.
Premier. I mean, use the word premier.
And so that would be a huge blow to them.
Well, Bo, Dylan, and myself, we called this one. Jesse Chavez announced that he is retiring. After 18 seasons, he is 42. I swear, we had this conversation on the air at Murph's. We were hoping he would retire Brave. I'm not sure if he actually technically can. Because he was DFA'd.
Yeah, I think they can hold his press conference if they want. But yeah, he was DFA'd.
But he hasn't picked up a ball since July 13th, that game with the Cardinals. So I would think, like, if that's the last game he played.
Yeah, look, I think you can say he went out as a Brave, even though he didn't necessarily retire on the roster. It's sad, and I'm happy at the same time. I'm happy because we saw him peak a couple years ago right before he got injured. Remember, he was having an all-star season. And then he just hasn't been quite the same. And I really get tired of seeing him get signed and DFA'd and signed and then shelled and then signed. And I just feel kind of bad for him. He seemed so at peace with the moment with reading some of his words and hearing some of the stuff he said.
And he should be.
I know, right?
The 42nd round 23 years ago. I mean, that is insane.
Wow.
The 42nd round draft pick in 2022.
He had
a good run.
Did you hear when he was asked about if he would ever want to be a manager or coach or whatever? And he's like, this game is given so much that I feel it necessary to give back. And I was reading a tweet from Grant, and he was like, to me, he's been a Grant. This is Grant's word saying to me, he's been a coach for a few years for this team. I would love to see him in a Braves uniform moving forward. He's helping out in any way. I don't care what it is. That's the kind of guy, that's the kind of human being you want around your clubhouse.
Won't be the most shocking thing if we see that happen. And Missouri has extended head coach Eli Drinkwitz's contract through 2029.
Yep, the HOA president got a contract. He's a good football coach, guys. He runs that mouth. And looks like you're a resident HOA president, but you got to give the man his due.
I'm not a huge fan of him and some of the interactions he's had with players from his team, players from the other teams. He got caught on camera last year against Bama saying something to the effect of, if I had a quarterback, we'd be beating you guys. Yeah. I mean, it was so bad. I was like, dude, you can't be caught on camera saying that. But nonetheless, He's had a couple of back-to-back 10-win seasons. He had a lot of turnover, and he seems to be perfect fit for that program.
That's like if Mike Bell was a college football coach running his mouth.
I mean, it was ridiculous. If I had a quarterback, we'd be right there in this game with you guys. It's like,
I remember that now.
Literally have a guy play. There's been a few things with him that I haven't loved, but nonetheless, like I said, he kind of fits what they're doing.
We watched that game. We were watching that game on film for some reason before a meeting. I remember seeing that now. Yep.
Who's ready for the rookie report?
Not me.
Any guesses on who I have receipts for today?
It's got to be me.
It's me.
You're good at your own little heel turn over there. And, like, just when we think we've got you in a corner, that's when you throw a curveball at us.
I mean, this has been over a week in the making. I do have receipts for you, Mike.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Love it. Knew it was coming.
Because, well, and Bo will remember this moment because last week at SEC Media Days, we had executive director for the Panini Senior Bowl.
That's right.
Drew Fabiani, John. And do you know where the Senior Bowl is, Mike?
Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah. All right. Do you remember when I kind of questioned your pronunciation?
Yes.
Of that? All right.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Drew.
Here we go.
We are missing one of the members of the morning shift today. Mike Johnson, O-lineman for Alabama, played for the Falcons. Sure. He's from Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when he talks about the city that the Senior Bowl is in, I feel he says it wrong. He pronounces it wrong. How do you say it?
Mobile.
Mobile. He says Mobile.
No, it's Mobile.
Thank you. All right, we're going to play this audio back for Mike Johnson when he comes back with us. You guys have
Who is this guy?
That comes from a damn Yankee. I got told in Texas. Now, here's a kicker for you. You'll love this. I said, what the hell is a damn Yankee? And they said, well, a Yankee is somebody that comes and visits. A damn Yankee stays.
That's right. That's right.
I went, okay.
I mean, he runs a massive event in Mobile.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
This guy's been an NFL scout for years. He was the GM for West Virginia and Auburn's program, probably where some of the beef is.
Okay.
He's legit, man. Don't come for my boy. Me and him are buddies.
Yeah, actually.
He sounded like he just came for me.
No, yeah,
it's Mobile.
He answered the question he was asked. Okay.
Here's the problem.
Context is everything.
No, context is everything. What did you say when you were interested? He's from Pensacola, Florida. You know where this guy's from? Longmont, Colorado. All right, so he might want to get with the natives down from my end of the world and figure out how to say it correctly.
Do you not think he's among them all the time?
He's a Johnny come lately down there. All right, he's not a fabric of the community.
This is all right.
He might want to ingratiate himself a little further before he starts. Not only that, I played in the freaking Senior Bowl. Okay, I know how to say Mobile.
No, it's Mobile.
Allie, this is a very squidbilly-like reaction for him. You know, this is how he says I react. This is how, listen to him.
It's irritating. You know what I mean? It's irritating. No, I'll go Chihuahua on y'all for a second.
No,
okay?
It's Mobile.
This guy's not going to step into, that's my zip code and area down there, okay? I don't want to hear this guy from Colorado tell me how to say Mobile.
No, it's Mobile.
It's Mobile, okay? It's Mobile.
No,
matter of fact,
Mobile.
There is probably half of our NASCAR Fantasy League that live in Mobile. We will get them on the phone right now if I have
no,
to.
No, we are not.
Mobile,
no,
Alabama.
We are not getting anyone from our Fantasy League.
There's no, it's not M-O-B-E-E-L. M-O-B-I-L-E.
There's only one person in that league that's allowed to call in this show.
All right. Well, we can agree to disagree, but we'll have to run into Drew at some point so you guys can duke this out a little bit.
Yeah, man. I got words for him.
I got his number. You want to text him? He's
probably in Colorado. He's not awake yet.
No, he's nice and mobile.
One quick thing I do want to move on to. Well, a couple things. Bo, I would like to play real life audio of Bo Squidbilly Morgan when we are live on remotes.
Squirrel! Squirrel! Squirrel!
Too far? Because
give some context to the people now.
I make the replay. Well, first of all, it's just an observation that when we are on remotes, there are shiny things all around and you cannot help but look.
Squirrel!
I'm feeling like I need to look into blinders.
This has been an ongoing thing, Allie, since the show started. And it is on remotes, but Lord knows the TVs aren't working in this studio, and thank God, because that happens from time to time too. Where I'm like, where did that, like, on what on earth are you talking about?
I was doing
the
replay last night and we're in the middle of a conversation, and then he goes, well, there goes the Falcon.
Yeah. Like,
what?
There he is.
Oh, there's someone working out. Like, what?
Squirrel.
He's a special man.
I mean, you gotta know your
Here
surroundings, all right?
Thank you. Okay.
If your head's
there
not on
we
the swivel,
go.
I was taught, hey, always have your head on the swivel. Pay attention to your surroundings. You're never caught off guard.
This guy thinks he's John Wick.
He was like showing Mike Conti a new microphone he had discovered in the middle of a break. I was like, what's happening right now?
I'm just glad you noticed these things. Thank God.
I want to give Dylan a little shout out. I knew it yesterday when I wrote the question about Camp Rock. I just had a feeling you're a Disney original movie fan, aren't you?
Oh, man. Talk to me about High School Musical.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the Cheetah Girls. Talk to me about Camp Rock.
This man, the beam of light coming from this man's face right now.
I used to live on Disney Channel original movies, man. That's my jam. That is completely my wheelhouse.
Well, this will conclude my rookie report for this week. Quite lively this week. Coming up.
Well done.
Drake London was kind enough to join us yesterday at Falcons training camp on his birthday. We'll let you take a listen to everything he had to say about training camp, how it's going, who he's rooming with. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Squirrel!